Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Dr. Canute White. He is a Jamaican scholar who has his own philosophical perspective of life and social studies. He has coined the concept of self-awareness to describe individuals who are comfortable with their weird behaviors and those behaviors, own those behaviors. Among other books, he has written Weird People Started to explain this concept. Dr. White has a background in psychology, holds a doctorate in education with a concentration in organizational leadership. He has also a BSc in counseling, MSc in psychology with educational psychology emphasis and an MSc in organizational studies. Dr. White believes in education as a means for upward mobility and often questions academic concepts in the realm of his philosophical mindset. He's a very critical thinker. He is also a podcaster and host of the Can Youth Exploration podcast. Dr. White has served in the Jamaican military for over 25 years and as a lay magistrate justice of the peace in Jamaica before becoming a notary public in Florida, where he currently resides. He is considering running for political office in the U.S. since his pursuance of another master's degree in public administration. Welcome to the podcast, Canute.
Thank you, Dana. How are you doing? It seems like a lot, right? And I'm still going back to school. Am I grieving?
you're one of those forever students, right? So let's just dive right in and tell me about the time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Okay, the trenches for me, in a twofold, familial trenches and communal trenches. Because in my family, there was sort of a trench that I was in, right, in terms of poverty and the challenges with my father being an alcoholic and, you know, being not necessarily physically abusive, but emotionally abusive. And the community trenches where you find the violence in the community. And that, you know, has been a challenge for me growing up in the inner city of Jamaica.
Mm-hmm. And so you've also been in the military, as I mentioned. And, you know, kind of when we think of the trenches, we think of that World War I trenches, right? So how was the military experience for you in Jamaica? Did you have some type of a trench experience in the military as well?
I like that. The Jamaican military is not one of those, military that, you know, go to war like you'd have here in the United States. And you realize there's a war now with the Russian and the Ukrainian. But no, the trenches that we have literally in the military are those sort of trenches when we have to go out there and fight with the gunmen in the communities, right? And mm-hmm. and so those are the type of military trenches that I have had. And I spent 26 years in the Jamaican military. It has been a good experience for me. At most of my young days, I started in the military age 20. So, you know, I have had most of my birthdays, youthful birthdays there.
Yeah, and you definitely, you know, learned a lot of skills that I think have helped you in your leadership, when somebody spends that long in the military. So let's kind of talk about leadership first, and then we'll talk more about other things that I mentioned in the bio. But you have a lot of perspectives about being a servant leader and using adaptive leadership in education.
Yes, you know, this thing about adaptive leadership is critical in educational institutions. How much do principals, you know, and in general, school administrators know about the community, the external environment that they operate in? They might know a lot about the internal environment, but how much of the external environment do they know about? And this is something that needs to be considered as administrators, school administrators. So adaptive leadership is concerned with knowing what your environment looks like and try to adapt to the environment in terms of your approach to leadership. Take for instance, your student came from a community that perhaps not close to the school, but it's a community that have its crisis, right? Yeah. And therefore, you need to understand where those children are coming from so that you can lead effectively and efficiently, because it will affect the teacher performance. Mm-hmm. I have done my dissertation in that field, adaptive leadership in Jamaican high schools. But let me try to make a distinction here as it relates to the two categories of Jamaican high schools: the non-traditional high school and the traditional high school. The non-traditional high schools are those schools that were originally secondary schools. You do not have to pass an external exam to get into those schools. Mm-hmm. So you have the less bright students there. And you have the traditional high school, which is the opposite. So I did my dissertation looking at adaptive leadership in both the categories of high school. And it's very interesting findings that I have. I've gotten, but you need to understand the findings here, because what happened is that in the traditional high school, it was perhaps not practical to mobilize teachers, because teachers mm-hmm. also look at what the principal has to offer and how the principal lead as it relates to looking at the external environment. And you'll find also that the changes, teachers are resistant to changes because of the trust. The trust, mm-hmm. not all educators trust principals. So we find that happens in both schools, but more so in the non-traditional high school, where you have not much of the brighter student. And it doesn't attract what I'd like to call the best teachers.
Yeah. And I think... it also depends on the leader, you know, in charge. If they are being a servant leader and they've learned adaptive leadership in their career, because some people might start off their leadership career in a school and they don't understand the community, right? And then they try to make ties, but they it's kind of like that, you know, a culture shock in a way. And I've seen that happen when I've been a teacher, right? As you know, viewing some leaders kind of having culture shock. And I think that's really important, like you said, that, and then the teachers, sometimes they want to implement changes upon the teacher.
Right, they want to implement things. And you have to understand too, this whole thing about adaptive leadership, it's not only about the community, but it's about that social unit that we know about, the family. Yeah. Principals need to understand the type of family that these students are coming from in order to teach effectively.
Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, lead effectively. Yeah. And so you've written a lot about organizational leadership and culture and how we can improve it. So having lived in the U.S. for the past 5 years, kind of what are your thoughts? Like, since you did your dissertation looking at Jamaican high schools, what are your thoughts about, like, you know, the majority of the audience is in the U.S. So kind of what are your thoughts about the culture, you know, and how to work with that?
I do not see much of a disparity between the high schools. Let's look at high schools in Jamaica and the United States in terms of adaptive leadership, because honestly, leaders are leaders everywhere. You might have this cultural approach to leadership because of you were socialized within your country, right? In terms of the national culture. But leadership is basically a universal principle, right? That you have attained and here to. Because we talk about straight leadership and, you know, that inbound thing. And then you seem to carry it out there, because many leaders they do not learn to lead. It's natural, right? And therefore you're seeing in the United States and Jamaica and elsewhere around the world where leaders have a similar approach to leadership. But I'd want to say though that as it relates to adaptive leadership, you have to understand the culture of the nation, the environment that you're in. Take for instance, for me to lead here in the United States, in the school situation, I have to understand the culture of the United States. So yes, it's important that you become culturally aware, you know, to lead effectively in the school system.
Yeah, that's definitely something. It takes a little bit of time to learn, and I think working in schools and learning more about just how schools function, right? And it's different for a lot of regions as well. So yeah, I like kind of how you're talking about adapting. Like, it's all about adapting. So let's talk a little bit about overcoming adversities. And in the bio, I mentioned your self-coined term, self-awareness, about owning your weirdness. So tell me, you said you came up with that a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah, I sat down and I said to myself, I've been interacting with a number of friends and so on. And I said, hey, we're all weird. You are weird, I am weird. And we cannot hide that, this thing about weirdness has to do with the strange things that we have said, we have done, and we have thought about doing. And I have decided, okay, let me go on a Facebook group, which I won't name, and I asked, what's the weirdest thing you've ever done?
Yeah.
And people made suggestions, and it's in the book, Weird People Started. And yeah. I had decided, so this is Weird People Started, this small book. on Instagram, but I had decided, why not? Let's find out the weirdness. Some people say, well, I have ate a cricket. I have hugged a light pole.
Yeah.
I tried to swim across the ocean. Things like that. Yeah. And I'm saying, okay, then that's weird. And the person decided, okay, I hold my weirdness. So I actually throw my concept of self-awareness into that group and a number of other groups and get some feedback. And there I go, So it's all about the awareness. Self-awareness is that consciousness, let me use that word, of your strangeness and owning and being comfortable with that strangeness that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I call self awareness.
Yeah. And I think, I've taught a lot in elementary, or I've taught a lot in secondary, and now I'm leading in elementary, and I think the elementary, the kids in elementary, they're a lot more comfortable kind of being weird, and the teachers are a lot more comfortable kind of joking around and being weird, maybe a little bit at the middle school level as well. But I think once you get to the high school level, kids shy away from, and having humor and talking about like the weirdest things you've done. And I think, bringing some of that humor into, a lesson, right, that can change, how things are going. And, having a sentence starter like that, the beginning of the week, like, what's the weirdest thing you've done, right? Or taking a poll with students, right?
Yeah, something, though, as you said that, I recall the scripture and the talk about innocence and, in Genesis. And I'm not sure if you ever realized that child, how innocent that child is. That child would walk on the street without clothes, in nude, and just not care. But as you get older, you are aware of self the importance of appropriately dressed and so on, to go there. So the innocent, you have lost a bit, but you know, conscious. So children, what I'm saying is that children usually have no care in the world about what's going on, as it relates to their weirdness. So they are highly self-aware, I should say.
Let's talk a little bit about, from your experience growing up in Jamaica, you saw that a lot of men, they didn't pursue academics. So what kept them?
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcast. Now let's get back to the episode.
From pursuing the academics.
Okay. When I was doing my master's in psychology, I had to do a research, and I decided to look at why men decided not to further their education, post-secondary education. And I picked up two main things, in the inner city, because my sample came from the inner city, men in the inner city community. One of the things is that, hey, this community is a violent community. And guess what happened? Mm-hmm. I will soon die. So why education? Why spending all that money to educate myself? That's one. Secondly, I have a family. I have a baby mother, so to speak, as we said, and therefore going back to school would have, you know, would mean, you know, taking money from my baby mother, from my child, right, to go back to school. So those were the two things that came up, and men, you know, I found men decided in the inner city decided not to go back to school. Just a few of us, you know, say, okay, why not? You know. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So how is that different for you? Because you said you grew up in the ghetto, and you still wanted, you know, are very driven. You're still driven to pursue another degree. So what drove you to achieve academic?
I guess the thing that actually picked me up and out into, you know, going into the classroom and learning is this thing about cushioning my challenges, the crisis that I was experiencing in my dysfunctional family setting with a matrifocal family arrangement, single parent family arrangement that drove me into education, because I was searching for peace and I found peace in education. And and because that was so, I find myself doing it even after getting that peace, that this was continuity. So that had driven me as a ghetto youth, ghetto boy, right? To educate myself, right? And I believe that it is the only thing, Donna, that we will die and take with us our brain. We can share it. I can share it with you and this podcast, but I will never leave it. I go, when I go, my education goes with me, you know, literally. So yeah, that's the only thing you'll ever have. That's what what you have.
Yeah, really good perspective. So let's talk a little bit about your book, Soaring Through Turmoil. It's talking a little bit about personal growth and development. And you talk about some of your challenges, right, with the poverty, growing up in poverty. And so tell me a little bit about, you know, what readers can learn, those who are, you know, working maybe in the inner city, those who are working with, you know, social economic, you know, disadvantaged children, how that book, reading this book can help those educators.
Yeah. You see, that book, Soaring Through Turmoil, you can get it on Amazon. I wrote that because I want others, young men in the inner city, to understand that there is a chance, right? There's a possibility that they could soar, so to speak, out of the inner city into, you know, I. But you see, what I want people to understand is that the inner city youths, they're searching as well. Mm-hmm. They want to find, we talk about that peace, yeah? They want to find that peace. They also want to find that opportunity. Because there's this, we talk about Women's Day, International Women's Day, break the bias. There's this bias that needs to be broken as it relates to inner city youth, inner city men, boys. And I wrote that book to encourage inner city boys. And persons working in the inner city need to know that these boys need help. They want help. They not only need help, they crave for this help. And it's okay to assist them. The next thing is that don't be afraid of these inner city boys. Mm-hmm. Once they're not, they don't feel threatened, they're okay, right? A lot of them are like what I call the reptile, the alligator. Once they do not feel threatened, well, it will be okay. Many of us grew up in the inner city, and for me, I had no friends. I was sort of the inside person. Sort of an insider, right? Very quiet insider. But I've seen so many things, Donna. So many things I've seen on the outside, and it's very, very important. But I have decided to join the military at a young age, and you know.
Yeah, and was kind of joining the military kind of your way out of the ghetto, in a sense?
No, it was no way out of the ghetto. Why I say that, because there are many soldiers, so to speak, officers who still live in the inner city, right? So we stay there. But it was sort of a way out of poverty, right? And I mean, you can live in the ghetto and still be able to find the basics, right?
Yeah.
But you are not poor, you know, so to speak. So it was a stepping stone for me, because I also stayed in the military and I got my master's and you know the other degrees while in the military. So it was a stepping stone as well.
I have a weird question. You know, we talked about weirdness, but you know, you say you have different types of lies that you've coined. So what are those three types of lies?
Look, we lie for various reasons. And while writing this book, Weird People Started, I sort of believe that our deception, our deceptiveness, so to speak, is a part of our weirdness. And we lie for one, pranks. Yeah, you know, I'm joking. You know those joke lies, Dana? I'm just joking. Okay. But I'm lying, but I'm joking.
Okay.
Right? So we do that. And we do that because we just want to have fun. But, you know, it was always said, hey, the joke is on you. You understand? Eventually it will turn back out. Right? But, the next one is escapism, escape lie, I call it. It's a prank lie, escape lies. If you have children, you know, they want to escape. I didn't do it. One of the person who answered the question on the Facebook group said, I convinced my mother that the parakeet actually, you know, float up the window or something like that, while actually I did something to the bird, right? So that person wanted to escape, so I have to tell a lie to escape the punishment. The third lie I call instrumental lie. I took that from the concept of instrumental aggression to get something. So that lie is lie to get something. And one of the participants talked about telling this girl who he had a crush on, hey, I am the son of a wealthy individual, you know, just to get that sort of relationship with that person. So I call that instrumental life. So we lie for different reasons.
No. It's kind of a good way to have a perspective on that, because we don't always, and that's a philosophical thinking where that comes from in your background. Yeah. We don't always think about why kids have those lies. You know, you say little white lies about, you know, trying to get out of something, but also, you know, adults do that as well.
And it means that we all lie, right? Beat pranks, instrumental.
It depends on the severity also. And
right, that's it.
If it's going to hurt somebody or not, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, it can be, you know, a bit challenging.
Yeah.
That's the weirdness.
So as I mentioned in the bio, you also are a podcast host. You host the Canuth's Exploration podcast. So what kind of guests do you interview, and what can people kind of learn if they tune in? Exploration kind of makes me think of travel. So
as it said, exploration. But let me make this distinction. Canuth, C-A-N-U-T, is my name.
Yeah.
Canuth Exploration is C-A-N-Y-O-U-T-H, as in youth, Canuth Exploration, youth with apostrophe S. So Canuth Exploration is a podcast that try to encourage, empower others, especially the persons in the inner city. Mm-hmm. My guests are from all around the world, really, and from different disciplines in education, politics, media, leadership. And they bring to the table a level of a content spread that would encourage my audience and empower them. You know, one of the things that I always ask my guests, tell me about your childhood. Because talking about your childhood would say to my audience, hey, this is who this person now and look at where that he or she is coming from. So I'm in that state where that person was. So guess what happened? I can make it. And that is important. That is what I want to have happen. Kanute Exploration, your audience can subscribe on Kanute Media, Kanyouth apostrophe S Media. That's the YouTube channel. Kanute Exploration is my Instagram angle. Kanute, Kanyouthsn is the Twitter, and Facebook is Kanute Exploration. So, tune in. I try to have an episode twice per week, but once per week, always, right? So that people can be empowered.
Okay. And this is it a lot you speaking, or you also, you said you interview guests. So is it kind of a mix of both?
Oh, no. Just recently, I started to lecture because I think that, my audience need to learn something. I call it learn habits.
Okay.
ABIT, yeah? Because I believe that if I teach a bit, my audience will learn a bit. So I tend to do some lecture with PowerPoints and so on. Not a few from time to time. But in general, I have guests. That's how I do it.
Okay. So I'll make sure I put that in the show notes so people can access that. Well, we've had an interesting conversation today, kind of about your background, about weirdness, about lies, about your book. Out of everything we talked about today on the podcast, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
I was saying to a friend today that, hey, we have something inside of us to share. Yes. There's this legacy that we need to leave with the world, with mankind. And we have to write, sing, dance, some creativity, so that there's some tangible representation of ourselves at what we have to offer. We talk about education, we have to take that with us. We need to leave some form of legacy. And therefore, I'd like to say to the audience, hey, do something creative. Do something creative. Share you with someone else. That's what you're doing, Dana. That's what I'm doing. And my podcast.
Yeah. And I think people who, have not tried podcasting or written a book or, gotten out there, maybe presenting at a conference, always have something valuable to share. So don't be afraid. Just take that first step. Yeah. Definitely. Where can people connect with you and find you online?
Okay. Yeah, my Instagram, as I said, Kanyouth, Kanyouth apostrophe S exploration, wradio668@gmail.com, wradio668@gmail.com. Email me not, send me an email and I will respond. Definitely, I love communicating with people and that's important for me. So I will respond to you within 48 hours. Send me an email.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. It was a pleasure talking with you and learning a little bit about a leader from Jamaica who's got a lot of just ideas on a variety of topics. So it's been really fun.
It's nice being here. And as we say in Jamaica, yeah, man, big up yourself. I like to throw the pot out sometime. Yeah, man, big up yourself. I got you, right? Thank you, man. All right, Dana. Great.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it, and if this episode resonates especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.